Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, September 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Nuvance Health. HealthQuest and Western Connecticut Health Network are now Nuvance Health, working together to rethink the healthcare experience and deliver care with patients in mind. NuvanceHealth.org. Joining us this afternoon for Medical Monday, Dr. Matthew Sonageri of the Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady. He specializes in post-stroke and brain injury rehabilitation. If you have a question, give us a call right now, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number 800-348-2551. Dr. Matthew Sonageri, and your calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us on this Medical Monday is Dr. Matthew Sonageri of the Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady, board certified in physical medicine and rehabilitation. Dr. Sonageri practices physiatry and works to restore or maximize functional skills, self-sufficiency, and mobility of people with temporary or permanent disabilities. His professional interests include post-stroke rehabilitation, brain injury rehabilitation, recovery from spinal and orthopedic injuries, and post-amputation rehabilitation. If you have a question, the number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sonageri, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
A very specific interest for you. How did that happen?
Well, I think I was a little bit influenced by my mom, who's a physical therapist. Yeah. But in medical school, I got exposed to this specialty rotating at Jefferson Rehab Hospital. And what I realized is it's pretty amazing to take someone who's had a really horrible injury and get them to be able to go home. So facilitate some recovery, teach them adaptive strategies, teach their family how to help them, and ultimately get them home to increase their quality of life.
Physiatry is one that I had not seen before today. I thought it was a typo. What is physiatry?
Physiatry is a specialty that was started after World War II when the veterans came home, trying to help them with those same sort of principles. So we look at how someone functions and try to maximize their recovery and maximize their ability to function, hopefully back in the community.
The number to call here on a Medical Monday is 800-348-2551, joined today by Dr. Matthew Sonageri of Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. What strides have been made over the last 20, 30 years in post-stroke rehabilitation?
So there has been some good strides that we made. You know, a lot of the research has been in preventing strokes, in kind of what can we do to, once someone's had a stroke acutely, resolve it. So the thrombectomy and TPA. As far as the rehab side, we really know that intensive therapy that is coordinated, multidisciplinary, so PT, OT, speech, really helps improve outcomes. We also have had a lot of technological investment in the last 20 years or so. So we're using a lot of robotics to help increase someone's ability to do functional tasks while they're in rehab.
Give me an example.
So at Sunnyview, we have several robots. So we call one the Exo. So it's basically an exoskeleton suit that we put someone who's had either a stroke or a spinal cord injury in, and actually will physically do some of the walking for them. So it kind of helps them to retrain and walk actively. It's sometimes the first opportunity that someone after a spinal cord injury has had to stand up.
I have actually seen this. I believe some pro athletes who have had spinal cord injuries have used these. And I think that's where I saw it on TV. Mm-hmm. And it's quite an amazing contraption. It must cost a fortune.
I think it is, at this point, prohibitively expensive for kind of taking them home. Although, you know, as technology advances, they are developing home models. But, you know, right now, that is a a therapy that we can offer in Sunnyview, both on the inpatient and outpatient side.
We are joined today on this Medical Monday by Dr. Matthew Sonigeri, and let's jump on the phones at 800-348-2551. Start out with Jeff in Albany. Jeff, you're on.
Hello, doctor. I had a stroke about a year and a half ago, and I've gotten very good treatment at Albany Med. And I went through the usual stuff. You know, I had OT, PT, speech, and all the rest. So here's my question. What I find right now is that my right hand up to my shoulder is taking much longer to come back. And I understand that that's the case, that I'm very common in this regard. And I've had Botox, and I've had it a few times. So my question is, what would be the prognosis of continue to get Botox every 3 months in terms of getting full functioning of my right hand? Because one of the things I do is I play trombone, and it's not my profession, but you know, not having full control of my right hand affects, you know, where the slide ends up, you know, and that affects the, you know, my ability to play. So.
Sure.
So I wonder if there's something else I should be doing besides the Botox. I won't mention the doctor because you clearly would know who the doctor
that's
is.
That's good. Well, we don't want to do that anyway, but I think that's a good starting point.
But the doctor, she's a great doctor.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a good question. So, you know, the reason that we use a medicine like Botox, which paralyzes the muscle, is when you have a lot of tone. So your muscles are activating continuously and you're not really doing it. So if that's the case for you, where you have a lot of tightness in that arm, the Botox is a good treatment for you because it keeps your range of motion full so that when and if you get recovery, you'd be able to use your arm more effectively.
Now you say when or if. How do we know when becomes if or if becomes never?
So it is really hard to tell. A lot of the research that we use for prognosticating, like predicting how much recovery someone would get, really is looking in the first 3 months to 6 months, which typically is the window we talk about where someone gets most of their recovery. You know, I've certainly have patients out there that have gotten some recovery, you know, several years after the fact.
Yeah.
So usually we use the Botox to keep you from getting like contracted or so tight you can't move that arm well.
All right, Jeff, good luck, and thank you for calling. Our number is 800-348-2551. Joined today on this Medical Monday by Dr. Matthew Sonigeri, and let's go to Michelle in Poughkeepsie. Michelle.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Certainly. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I just wanted to know if the doctor is aware of the PONS, which is spelled P-O-N-S. It's a device that was talked about in Norman Deutsch's book, a lot about healing the brain. And it's currently being used in Canada and in Europe. But Helios Technologies, which is where it was going through trials in the United States through the FDA, it isn't, so far it hasn't gotten approval. And I think it'll be wonderful for my husband who has Parkinson's, and I don't know. I'm hoping more and more doctors learn about it and that it can become available, which might be through physical therapists or whatever. But I wondered if he knew about it and what his thoughts were, because I just thought it sounded remarkable.
All right, doctor, do you know what the PONS device is?
So I have run into someone who's tried this. They were going to Canada for it because it has not been approved by the FDA in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It basically helps stimulate the brain through the tongue, I believe. So basically some electrical current, they put an electrode in their mouth and then it helps stimulate. I don't know that there's any really good evidence to support that I'm aware of that really supports this one way or the other. So I don't really know what guidance I can give you.
Okay, so, but when you say there isn't support,
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a published randomized control trial that I've at least come across. Maybe there is one out there.
I just wondered why you think that it's available in Canada or possibly in Europe, but is not available in this country.
Wow, you want to tackle that political show, Doctor? We can do a couple of extra hours. Michelle, I don't know if he can...
Yeah, I don't know this device well enough to know exactly where it is in the process for getting approval.
Well, Michelle, thanks for the call. We have to take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Matthew Sonogeri is our guest today. We talk post-stroke rehabilitation, brain injury rehabilitation, that sort of thing, and we take more of your calls coming up. Vox Pop Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're joined today by Dr. Matthew Sonogeri of Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady. Back to the phones in a moment, Doctor. This email came in from Alex in Latham. Alex writes, I've heard that smelling toast is a sign that you're having a stroke, but I've also heard it's a common myth. Is this true? Also, are there other symptoms people might not think of that aren't the typical FAST acronym? And that's from Alex in Latham.
I've never really heard the toast, comment. People can have a lot of symptoms, but really the FAST is what.
What is FAST?
So you are looking for whether someone has weakness, whether they have facial droop, whether they're sort of acting a little differently, if their speech has changed.
Okay. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Jim and Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
Do omega-3s help repair the endothelial cells lining the intima of blood vessels after a clot that caused the stroke has been removed or resolved?
Oh, Jim, that's really not... That's not my area. I'm not so sure if omega-3s help facilitate endothelial cell repair.
All right. Well, perhaps another show there, sir. Thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Rich in Poughkeepsie. Rich, you're on.
Hi, doctor. I got bitten by a Powassan tick, I believe, and I got meningitis and encephalitis from it. And I just wondered, it's had two effects on me. It's affected my memory, and it's affected my balance. And I do balance exercises, and I seem to be slowly getting better, but I just wonder if there's anything that could help that you could recommend.
I think, Rich, continuing to do those exercises, I take it you've gone through some formal therapy?
Just a little bit, yeah. I was in the hospital for a month with it, and it was in New Orleans. They didn't know that it was a tick. They knew it wasn't Lyme, but they couldn't figure out what it was. So finally, I got back to New York. I sent my blood to Albany, and they said that it was a Powassan tick.
Yes.
I've been getting better slowly.
Yeah, and I hope that you would continue to. If you're still having some balance and memory problems, perhaps getting a referral for physical therapy would help with the balance. If memory is still an issue, you could see a neuropsychologist to go through a battery of testing, try to really hammer down what parts of your memory are affected. And then from that, they can help develop some strategies for how to work through that.
Okay, that's a neuropsychologist.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I do a lot of exercise. I play tennis. I do all kinds of stuff, and I think that helps my balance slowly.
Hey, Rich, good luck. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Medical Monday. Dr. Matthew Sonogeri is here from Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady. And let's go to Elizabeth in Malta.
Hi. My mother-in-law is 83 years old. A year ago in November, she suffered a heart attack. She was, I guess, dead for 20 minutes, and they finally revived her and brought her back. She now cannot walk. She really cannot do anything physically on her own, maybe feed herself a little bit. But my question is, she's basically living 40 years ago. Her brain is stuck in 40 years ago. What are the chances of her coming back to present day?
So, it's hard to say. I don't really know your mom, but probably if she had some sort of injury to her brain when the heart attack happened and her heart had stopped, it is possible that she could get better, but we're probably almost a year out from when that occurred. So,
yep.
It is getting, I think, more unlikely that she will have a huge jump in her memory.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. There's been no jump. I even think sometimes it gets worse. Like, she knows who I am, but then when I'm with her, she'll ask me a question about me, not knowing that it's me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? She's just...
Yeah, and that's very common in brain injury. So patients will oftentimes remember past events, but they really can't incorporate current day-to-day things. So, they don't really remember what they had for breakfast, but they can tell you something that happened 40 years ago.
Bingo, that's it. So because it's now so far into it, you think she's going to be living in 40 years ago. And that's, it is what it is, but so the chances of her coming back to us are not so...
I think it's right. What we sometimes see in the hospital after someone's had a brain injury is they'll start recovering pieces of memory up to present day or up to the time of their injury. They don't usually, get after that because they've been sick. So sometimes that will get a little bit better.
Okay. What could Elizabeth do to, if there was any hope, to move her mother-in-law along into the present?
So did she go through a course of therapy?
Oh, she was actually at Sunnyview for a while. And yes, she did. She's been through therapy, and now we moved her. She's in a second assisted living home now, and she's just, she gets upset if people tell her that the reality of, like, the fact that her husband's dead and her daughter-in-law is dead. So I personally don't tell her the truth. I tell her what she wants to hear because I don't want to upset her.
Mm.
Sure. Yeah, it's a sort of a delicate balance because they would relive that every single time. It's new information for them.
Yeah.
Right.
I think you've done a lot of the right things. She's undergone an intensive course of therapy, so continuing to support her and, spending time with her.
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you for the call. Do we know, do doctors know how the brain can reboot to a point where this woman is stuck in 1979?
I think there's still a lot that we really don't know about how the brain recoveries. I mean, we know there's certain mechanisms, but, as far as whether someone will recover or not, that's a little bit harder to predict.
I just find it fascinating that the brain functions, the person functions, but yet the memory stops. Is this a physical, like a part of a hard drive that is corrupted? Do we know what's going on?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to think about it. So the part of her brain that is encoding new material probably isn't switching it over to the long-term hard drive. But the memories that are still there haven't been damaged.
I've heard, and I'm certainly no doctor, but I've heard that when there is a brain injury, the brain will often rewire itself so that, you've heard the old tale about the guy who was a railroad worker and a spike went up through his head and he lived for years.
Phineas Gage?
Well, yeah. All right, let's call him Phineas Gage. You actually know his name. I have no idea. He was able to function. There was some rewiring that went on there. Why is that not possible with memory?
Sometimes it is. It is possible. I think it totally depends on where the injury was and how severe it was, and then a number of other factors like how old the person is.
Because
there is some correlation between if you're younger, you have a better chance of getting a good outcome.
Our guest today is Dr. Matthew Sonigeri of Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady. The number is 800-348-2551 on this Medical Monday. Johanna, I believe, in Schenectady. You're on.
I'm Donna.
Oh, all right. It's all right. Not what my screen says, but I'll, you know what? I'm going to take
Donna
your word for
Schenectady.
It. All right. Donna in Schenectady. Hello. You're on.
Yes, that's me. I've had my stroke. Well, first of all, doctor, thank you for taking my call. I've had my stroke 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years this November. And 10 years before the stroke, I had a hemifacial spasm on the right side of my face, so I had to have neurosurgery. And it was done by a tremendous doctor. I'm not going to name who it is, but he was fantastic. And it was successful, but he went into the brainstem. Well, I found out my stroke happened in the brainstem. I have no balance. I can walk, and my memory is incredible. I still have a great memory. But is there a correlation between that particular procedure and what happened to me?
Oh, I am not sure. When was the last time you had some therapy?
Oh, I was at Sunnyview.
Yeah, but
3 years ago first had it. It took me months to walk because I crawled.
Yeah.
I had double vision from being dehydrated. It was terrible. I remember that time with my mother had just died the week before. It was a terrible time for me. And then Trump won, which put me over the edge. I know I shouldn't bring politics up, but...
That's right. Everybody else does. It's okay. Fine.
Oh, he's so awful. I can't wait till he's out of there. But he was the catalyst, seriously. I was under a lot of stress because I took care of my mother for 8 years. And my neurologist thinks that my stroke was caused by stress. And again, he told me it happened in the brainstem. And my balance has been compromised. I can't ride my bike anymore. I can't do all the things I used to do. But I can walk now, thanks to Sunnyview and their great therapy. And I use a cane when I go out. But in my house, I don't need anything. I really don't.
That's
but
great.
I can't garden like I used to.
So,
I mean, a lot of things are gone. Plus, my taste buds aren't intact. And everything tastes metallic, and I heard this is part of the stroke thing.
Okay. Doctor.
So one of the things that is kind of new in the last year that we're doing at Sunnyview is it's called high-intensity gait training. So it's something that we can offer to patients who have had their strokes greater than 6 months ago but are still having problems. So with this program, traditional therapy session, you get a few hundred steps. We get you a few thousand. And while there's not a lot of literature really out there, it has shown that people are improving pretty drastically in the chronic phase after they've had a stroke.
What is this therapy?
Yeah, so it can be, there's a few different ways to do it. It's still in the experimental phase, I think. But basically, you are, instead of making the steps look really pretty, which has been, I think, the traditional way that we've approached therapy, we're just trying to get as many steps in as possible. And there seems
on
to
be... On a treadmill? I'm
confused. Sure, on the treadmill or walking around. The treadmill is probably the ideal place to do it. We also try to get your heart rate up a little bit. And some combination of those two seems to really help how people walk.
Well, I exercise. The Visiting Nurses of Schenectady gave me a whole bunch of exercises, which I do every day. And I've noticed that my walk is better. And I can't play the piano anymore because I love the piano because I have, like, neuropathy in my left arm. Mm. It's like pins and needles over there. And I can't play the bass notes like I used to. I mean, it left me with some terrible things, but thank God I'm alive and I can talk and I have a great memory.
You know, Oscar Peterson, toward the end of his life, had a stroke. He was a great jazz pianist. And
yeah,
he
I remember him. Oh, I don't remember him, but I know of him.
He lost basically, 90% of the functionality of his left hand, and he still made some amazing records. I mean, really, really.
Really?
Yeah, top shelf stuff. So, hey, Johanna, we got to let you go.
Still play. Yeah, well, thank you very much. Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 800-348-2551. Dr. Matthew Sonigeri is our guest from Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady. Post-stroke, is there a lot of medication that one takes after that?
So a lot of the medications that people take after a stroke are for some of the other chronic medical problems that tend to come with it. We were really diligent when someone comes to Sunnyview to make sure that they're on the appropriate medicines to help prevent them from having another stroke. So we're really looking to prevent any complications so that they can really focus on their therapy and get the most out of it possible.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, and let's jump back on the phones. Don in Red Hook. Don.
Hi. I'm 58 years old, 58 and a half. 2 years ago, I had what I'll call a minor stroke, if there is such a thing, and they couldn't quite figure out why. And it was later concluded that it was because I had a lot of hemoglobin in my blood. And so they put me on a prescription called hydroxyurea. And the idea is to reduce the hemoglobin count in my blood and therefore preventing the likelihood of another stroke. Do you think there's any hope that I'll ever be able to stop taking the hydroxyurea?
So, Don, I'm going to have to sort of defer you back to your hematologist. They're really the experts on that. I would assume that at some point you'd have some follow-up labs to kind of see how everything looks, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I follow up with either your primary care or your hematologist.
Okay. And I'll turn a second quick question is, lifespan. I mean, I'm 58 years old, 58 and a half now. You know, I hope to make it to, I'm in my 90s. What are the odds?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the great things about our medical system is people who are having strokes are surviving longer. We are having people live longer after they've had a stroke because it's an opportunity to take a look at all the problems that someone has accumulated and really maximize the therapy and the medications that we can give them. So, I think certainly just because you've had a stroke doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity or the ability to live a long life.
But, I mean, it's impossible. Don, thanks for the call. It would be impossible to say, all right, absolutely. Don, you're good. 90, yeah, right. 95, you're all set. I mean.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Matthew Sonigeri is our guest. One more call before the next break, and then we'll have the home stretch. Peter in Gilderland. Peter, you're on.
Yes, hello. I first ask if the doctor has heard or knows much about it, Hashimoto's encephalopathy. Fairly rare, but I would have a question about it if he has some familiarity with it.
Hashimoto's encephalopathy.
I don't know that I have probably enough experience with that to be able to answer your question. I certainly have heard of it.
Okay.
But yeah. I'm having a tough time saying.
They say it's someone I know has been diagnosed with it, and it is supposedly a rare disease associated with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I guess what I'm wondering, since it does affect the brain, and even though you may not know too much about it, would it typically therapy continue to help with memory loss no matter what the cause, or is it going to be very specific to a diagnosis in general that therapy might help?
Sure. I think as a general principle, if you can correct the underlying problem that's sort of causing the issue, so Hashimoto's thyroiditis or some sort of meningitis, if you're able to treat the medical condition, then usually therapy will help the brain to recover.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks, Peter. We appreciate the call. Now let's talk quickly before the next break about spinal cord injuries. Simple question I have for you, and they're horrific stories. Somebody breaks their neck and they're paralyzed. Why is it so difficult? What is it about the spinal cord that makes grafting or reconnecting so difficult?
Well, there's just, I think, so many neurons that are running through it. So everything from our brain down to our periphery runs through the spinal cord and out. So there are a lot of studies coming out, a lot of stem cell studies where they're injecting stem cells into the cord and trying to get that connection between the part that's injured and the parts that are uninjured. I think they've shown that sometimes they can get regrowth, but who's to say that it will connect to the right part? Mm. So that's, I think, one barrier.
Do you think down the road, completely artificial? I mean, we make microcircuits now that have so many, that do so many functions, and they're nano. Down the road, 20, 50 years, can there be a fully artificial spinal cord?
I think that would be my hope. That would be amazing for the future.
Well, can you do it? All right, he's going to think about it. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Dr. Matthew Sonigeri is our guest from Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital. Back with the home stretch in a moment. Fox Pop Medical Monday. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551. The number 1-800-348-2551. We are joined today by Dr. Matthew Sonigeri of Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady, and we'll jump back on the phones in a second here. This is from Kim. Came in via email. Subject heading stroke. My husband had a stroke 2 years ago. Would Botox help him with his arm now, or is it too late? He has 15% of movement from his shoulder down.
So,
2 years ago.
2 years ago. So Botox won't like make the arm recovery. It's really treating a symptom of the stroke. So if he has some tightness in that arm, it will help relax it. Sometimes we can rebalance the muscles. So if one muscle group, like the muscles that make the hand tight, are overpowering the muscles that make the hand open, we can sometimes weaken one group to allow more function.
What exactly happens? Now, Kim mentioned her husband has 15% movement from shoulder down. What has happened that has made that movement stop? Or in other words, that has removed 85% of the movement from that arm? What went wrong?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different areas that you could potentially have a stroke that would make that picture. So I don't know exactly which one is this, but it's an injury to the part of the brain that controls movement in the arm somewhere along that pathway from the very top of the outer surface of the brain in the prefrontal cortex all the way down through the brain stem. Somewhere in there, there's been some injury.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Wes is in Half Moon. Wes.
Yes. I have a condition called superficial siderosis, which is iron deposits on the cerebellum. And my gait has progressively gotten worse. And earlier you were talking about an experimental gait program, and I'm wondering whether or not I might benefit from that.
I think it's certainly worth a try. I mean, with a program of a few sessions, you would see if you're getting better or not. You know, that's something that you could potentially be evaluated for to see. At the very least, a physical therapy evaluation would really do some measurements to objectively look at how you're walking and your balance, kind of give you a snapshot where you really are.
All right. I would need a referral from my neurologist then.
Or your primary, yep.
Yeah, all right. Very good. I'll follow up with them then. Thank you.
Thanks, Wes. 800-348-2551 is the number if you have a question for Dr. Matthew Sonigeri. 1-800-348-2551. Alice in Claremont, New York. Alice, you're on.
Yes, hi. I was just turning off my radio.
Oh, good. Most people do when I'm on. Yes, go ahead.
I have been diagnosed about 5 years ago with periventricular white matter in my brain, and I have a lot of it, and I know that's seen in seniors, but apparently I have a lot.
What is that?
Excuse me?
What is that exactly?
So,
Well, I'm not really sure, except the white matter coats my brain. And wherever it is, the function that it hits is decreased. At first in the emergency room, they thought that I had MS, because it's typically seen in MS. And I've had a workup for MS, and I don't have MS. And what I do have is microvascular infarctions in my brain. And it doesn't get better, it gets worse. And I'm sorry I can't be more specific than that.
No, that's okay. So the white matter is the area of the brain that connects the motor strip and the upper cortex to basically the brain stem. It's where all the fiber tracks run through.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like you have a problem somewhere in that area of the brain. And you said it's microvascular, so very little infarctions.
Right. Infarction being?
Being an injury to either the cell coating or the cell itself, the neurons in that area.
The reason that I'm calling is I've been listening to people speaking, and some say their memory hasn't improved with various treatments and exercises. And I just wanted to say that I have been seeing a functional neurologist in New York City. I think it's functional. It's something before neurology. And he has a PhD in chiropractic, and then he did four stints the hospital, and he's now board certified, but he's not an MD. And his interest was the brain.
Huh.
And, you know, I know when residents do training in the hospital after they complete their residency, it's called something, and I can't remember what it is.
All right.
That's what he did.
Okay.
And I can tell you, I've been seeing him for 3 weeks, and my balance has improved tremendously. I am remembering, my short-term memory has improved. Is it like it used to be? No, not at all. But there is improvement, and I feel like my old self.
Tremendous.
Yeah, that's great.
So I just wanted you to know that, and that this apparently is a new profession. I do exercises at home, and most of the exercises relate to brain function, not muscles.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I think you might be
amazing.
Beyond our doctor's knowledge base here.
I mean, if you're getting improvement, then that sounds like you're on the right track.
Yeah, great job, Alice. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We talked to Dr. Matthew Sonigeri today. In rehabilitation, whether it is post-stroke, a brain injury, spinal orthopedic injury, post-amputation, in judging outcomes, how much does the emotional state, the demeanor, the outlook of the patient factor in? In other words, the positivity of the patient.
So we know that going to an intensive rehab afterwards really does improve, but in order when you're there, we're expecting you to do 3 to 4 hours of therapy a day and really engage with it. So, you know, there is some understanding that you've had this traumatic thing potentially happen to you and you're undergoing an adjustment, but really kind of engaging with the program helps your outcome. So that's kind of how we try to frame this for people, that really, you know, working through what's just happened to you and trying to get you to the next step.
I mean, our last caller seemed extremely positive about this course of action that is going on now. And she says, I'm seeing results. My short-term memory is improved. My balance is improved. My point is,
can your own mind, your own attitude affect that some change without anything being done? In other words, saying that the person she is going to is not doing anything. But what I'm saying is her outlook that I'm going to get better helping her get better?
I think we see that, absolutely, that a good attitude and a willingness to work hard and engage in therapy leads to better outcomes.
Is the brain still the most mysterious of all body parts that we know of?
I think so.
How much do we know about the brain, percentage-wise?
I really couldn't tell you exactly. I think it's one of those we don't know yet what we don't know.
Okay. All right. We don't yet know what we don't know. What do we know?
I think there's a lot of literature that's coming out every day about better understanding about how the brain works, the pathways, the interconnectedness of it. I think probably in the next decade, we're really going to better understand. But there's new discoveries every day, every year.
Does the mind live in the brain?
Yes.
You sure?
I think so.
The mind is the personality. Is there a separate being aside from the brain?
I'm not sure.
Well, you know, you have a handler here who is keeping an eye on you, and he says, don't answer that question. All right, very good. The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Matthew Sonigeri is our guest today. I saw a great show on TV about people who have had brain injuries who then suddenly gain skills, like a guy who became a classical pianist, had no... Where does that come from? This is one of the mysteries of the brain I would like to have you, Dr. Sonigeri, answer here.
So this was actual people that this occurred with?
This was
with?
A real person. I forget his name, but he still exists. He is still around.
So his brain injury unmasked some skill he didn't have before?
He took a dive in a pool, banged his head, wasn't terribly bad, but he had a bad clunk. And next thing you know, he gravitated toward a piano, never played it before, and now he's done concerts.
Huh.
Where does that come from?
Well, you know, sometimes after an injury, people get focused on something and can develop a new skill. I don't think I've ever seen anyone have a skill that they didn't previously have after. But I'm not saying it's impossible.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phones. And Otha in Williamstown, you're on.
Okay. Thank you for accepting my call. I want to say that although this is not a skill that I developed after my stroke, it was an exhilaration, an augmentation to a skill I already had. I'm a musician. I was a pianist and a piano teacher for many years, for decades. And then I had two massive strokes, both caused by blows to the head playing soccer. And after the second stroke, and I was in the hospital, it turned out I had to have brain surgery. Then after that, I really focused on the hand drumming that I had begun doing after my first stroke. My recovery was complete and full, and I attribute all of it to the hand drumming that I do. So I became a drum circle facilitator. And I do a lot of work with folks who've had strokes and dementia and all sorts of things. But I want to encourage people that if they anticipate they might have a stroke or some sort of brain injury, to start drumming, hand drumming.
And call a doctor, presumably, right?
Right. Do that first, of course. Okay, yes, yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Over to Megan in Great Barrington. Megan, you're on.
Yes, I had a neurological injury. I injured my neck, and basically I had no feeling at all in my arms from my elbows down. I was in the hospital for 6 days, and I would say the recovery, the improvement while I was hospitalized was really, really good. Now it's been almost a year since the accident, and since the hospital release, the improvement in any neurological symptoms have been painfully small. Is there any clue as to why that might be?
So, Megan, they think that you pinched a nerve in your neck? Like,
yes.
Your spinal cord?
In my spinal cord, I had a fall and hit my head.
Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure. We We would expect the majority of recovery after a spinal cord injury to occur in the first year or so. And then after that, it does diminish.
But 6 days is a little quick.
Well, I mean, sometimes people have really rapid responses in the first 6 days. But, I would expect a little bit more beyond that.
Okay. And is there anything that they are actually doing when you're hospitalized in that initial period that's improving chances of recovery?
Some patients will receive steroids. Some patients get a surgery to help decompress that area. So I don't know if any of those were going on during that time. It really depends on the circumstances around it.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
Megan.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Over to Christopher in Poughkeepsie. Christopher.
Hello. My son had a stroke and after a concussion, and he was rather young, in his 30s, and he was referred by the neurologist at the Hospital for Special Surgery to a neuropsychologist for literally brain retraining. And it seems to help a great deal. There are people like that now in practice that he seems to be able to remember things better. He seems to be able to improve. And the woman before me had talked about she didn't know what kind of a person she was referred to. But there are people like neuropsychologists that aren't physicians that help do brain retraining.
Yeah.
As a specialty.
So we have a neuropsychology department at Sunnyview, and they are a really valued member of the team. They really help us with some of the cognitive problems that people have.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. And we go to David in Saugerties. David.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I realize that this may be a little bit outside the doctor's scope, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
I've had to deal with a lot of issues with toxic mold in the home, both previous home and the current home, which we just remediated. And what he knows about the effects of mold on the brain, adverse effects is what I'm referring to.
Yeah, so unfortunately, this is pretty much out of my scope, so I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Okay. All right. Well, David, I guess we'll have to leave it there. Thank you for the call. We're about done here, Doctor. You made it through the whole show. Well done. Thanks to Dr. Matthew Sonigeri of Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital for being with us. Support comes from Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, helping fight the epidemic opiate crisis both locally and throughout the country with specialized programs, education, and support for men, women, and families. VillaVeritas.org. For inquiries. Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for emailing. Thanks again to Dr. Sonigeri for being here. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the show, get ready for excitement, because tomorrow we talk real estate. And you know how exciting that is. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello will join us to discuss the very latest cutting-edge thinking in real estate. Right now, stand by for the Media Project.